The Greek polis, the Greek city-state, has acquired not only this sense of identity as an institution of the rule of law, but a whole set of public arts, a whole set of public festivals, processions, cultural forms that are associated with those civic institutions. And it's been defined culturally as much as it has been politically. And this definition is extremely well seen on the shores of Asia Minor, in the region of Ionia, where Miletus, one of the early Greek city-states going back into the Bronze Age, takes a leading role in these developments and will be a leading city in the forefront of developments in the next lecture. There was another factor fueling these developments, and I would like to close with it because it's one of my favorite topics in early Greek civilization, and that's tyrants. And when we think of tyrants or tyranny, we think of it as an arbitrary rule, and that's how the Greeks understood it. It was a strong man who seized power. But tyrants in many ways sum up a lot of what is going on in the archaic age. Tyrants were usually put in power by a disgruntled citizenry, usually a hoplite class, that is the propertied infantry classes, angry at the old aristocracy. They are strong men. They seize power. They come to positions of strength in time of crisis, and they solve the problems and rule as charismatic figures. But they never succeed in making themselves kings because they're trapped by the very institutions I just spoke of. On the one hand, a tyrant, and one thinks of the tyrant Pisistratus in Athens, if you went up to him and said, you're a tyrant, he said, no, I'm just the first citizen of Athens, and I'm helping my fellow citizens. Tyrants did not have any sort of royal institutions. They had no bureaucracy. They had no professional army. They had to work through civic institutions. And so in an ironic way, tyrants promoted all of those developments of constitutional government. What they did is they rigged the offices, made sure their buddies were elected the chief magistrate. They tried to supervise the assemblies. Nonetheless, they did work through the existing political institutions. At the same time, tyrants desperately needed respectability, and what they did is they also promoted all the public culture and arts I was talking about, temple construction, shrines, oracles, the writing down of the Homeric poems, the promotion of tragedy and drama as public festivals. All this was done by tyrants, but in all instances, this was done in the name of the city. And what happened with most tyrants is that once they seized power in a crisis, they themselves could keep control in their lifetime. But after their deaths, their heirs almost invariably lost because there was no reason for them. If barbarians, foreigners, were below the polis because they didn't have the rule of law, the tyrant was above the polis because he didn't, in the end, adhere to the rule of law. And so while they did so much to promote political life, public arts, and culture, in the end, the tyrants are usually done in by their own success. And tyrannies almost inevitably fell in the second generation. And it's in the second generation that tyrants usually began to rule tyrannically. And I would like to close with a little story on that. It will give you some sort of sense. And that is the tyrant of Corinth, a man named Periander, who came to power somewhere, probably around 625 BC, after his dad died, Cypselus, who was a very popular man, sent a message to the tyrant of Miletus, Thrasybulus in Asia Minor, and the messenger was to ask, what do I do? I'm now tyrant, and you know, I'm in control of the city of Corinth. How do I maintain power? And Thrasybulus took the messenger through a wheat field. And as they walked along, every time Thrasybulus saw a high stalk of grain, he had a stick, he'd lop it off. And he did this for a while, and then he sent the messenger back to Corinth. And Periander, the tyrant of Corinth, says, well, what did Thrasybulus tell me? And the messenger is completely perplexed and said, well, very strange. He took me to a field and he was just knocking down tall wheat stalks. And Perry said, oh, thank you very much. And rewarded the messenger and sent him on his own and carried out that policy of knocking off those who were too strong. And ultimately, it did him in. The citizenry just wouldn't tolerate it. And there was a political revolution which brought the tyrant down. So as immensely successful as they were and as important as they were in these developments, in the long run, the political and cultural destinies rested with the communal organizations of the polis and not with the revival of some type of monarchy.